So in your story for the October edition of Illinois Issues, you looked at some of the legislative races that are of interest this year. The Republicans have kind of taken a beating in recent years in races for the Illinois House and Senate. Can you kind of give us the landscape of what's going on? Why are Republicans, you know, trying to make some resurgence this year?
In 2012, Republicans took a big beating in state house races. There were, as there are every year, there were a number of contested races throughout the state, largely in the Chicago area, and Democrats won almost all of the hotly contested races. So lots of people are unopposed. Some people have token opponents, and some are really intense races. And Democrats won most of them. And now they have historic majorities in the Illinois House and Illinois Senate, veto-proof majorities. They have supermajorities. They can do kind of whatever they want if they stuck together, but they rarely stick together. And this is what Republicans want to combat. There was a new map last time. Democrats took advantage, and Republicans are trying to claw their way back and win back some of those many seats they lost last time.
Democrats have these kind of super-duper majorities. They can override the governor's veto if they want to, but those majorities also make them vulnerable in this election. Can you explain why?
Yeah, there are just so many of them that it's hard for them to keep all those seats. They have to not only spend money trying to pick up seats where they want to be competitive, but they also have to spend money and spend staff and spend time on defending a lot of other people. And when you have a big Democratic year in 2012 with Barack Obama at the top of the ticket, Democrats maybe won a lot of seats that maybe they wouldn't without him at the top of the ticket. So if you have Democrats moving into areas where they usually wouldn't be, that makes them vulnerable when conditions aren't as ideal for them, like maybe they are this time.
A lot of the races that folks are paying attention to as maybe competitive or hotter races are in the suburbs. What are some of the issues that kind of play into those suburban races?
Well, taxes is a big thing in the suburbs, property taxes and income taxes, and you're right. I mean, in the Chicago area, there are a lot of those hot races, and the reason is, there are a few reasons. Number one, there are a lot of freshman Democrats in the suburbs. Like we said, there were a lot of pickups last time, and some of the most vulnerable lawmakers every time are the freshmen. They've only been around for a year and a half when they start campaigning again. People in their district don't know them anyway as well, so they're more vulnerable. And secondly, those districts, are a little more moderate. You know, they tend to flip back and forth in presidential years and governor years. They might vote for Republicans, they might vote for Democrats. So anytime, any year, those are going to be competitive races just because there's, a good divide there. There's a good bipartisan representation of voters there.
Can you take us through some of the matchups in the House that people are really kind of keeping an eye on? It seems like more of the competitive races are going on the House side of things. Who are those folks?
So I'll just mention a few here. One of them that might be a big one is Marty Moylan. He's a Democrat. He's a new lawmaker from Des Plaines. He was the former mayor there, versus Republican Mel Thillens, who owns a armored truck company. One of the reasons that's very competitive is Marty Moylan is a freshman lawmaker. That's a pretty moderate area on both sides, so you expect that to be a pretty hot race. Over in the Quad Cities, you've got one where Mike Smitty is trying to defend his seat. It was a close race last time. People expect it'll be a close race again. You have freshman in Lake County, Sam Yingling, who's another freshman Democrat who is getting a good challenge from Republican Rob Drabinski. That could be close. And then all the different open seats. We often talk about, where they're competitive. Well, when there's no incumbent, a race is likely to be more competitive. So in the south, or sort of western suburbs, you have the fight for Tom Cross's seat might be a hot one. He's running for Illinois treasurer. Joanne Osmond is retired, so in Northern Lake County, there's no incumbent, and that might be a tough race too.
And there are also some downstate and central Illinois races that are of interest this year. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
In southern Illinois, Dwight Kay, who's a Republican and had a very close race last time, he's the incumbent, is running against Democrat Cullen Cullen, who is a superintendent down in southern Illinois. That race is already attracting a lot of attention and a lot of money. In central Illinois, you have Andy Menar in the Illinois Senate. He's a freshman running against Linda Little of Decatur, who's the Republican. Again, he's a freshman in a district that could go either way, so that obviously is getting some attention. And then up in the Quad Cities, you have Democrat Mike Jacobs, who's been around for about 10 years in the Illinois Senate, took the seat from his father, is running against Republican Neil Anderson, who ran for the House 2 years ago in the same area and lost, but now he's taking on Mike Jacobs in the Quad Cities.
You point out in your story that the races at the top of the ticket have a really big impact on what happens with these state legislative races. Can you tell us a little bit about why and how the governor's race may affect these down-ticket races?
Yeah, because as much as people like me and you who like to cover this stuff very closely would like to believe, people don't know their state legislators as much as they know what's going on at the top of the ticket between Governor Pat Quinn and Republican Bruce Rauner. So whichever top-of-the-ticket candidate, Democrat or Republican, can end up turning out more people, generate more excitement at the ballot box in a particular area of the state, will affect what happens in the races below them. You know, any one of these candidates for state house office could run a very good race, but if voters in that race are inclined to come out for the other candidate's governor candidate or the other party's governor candidate, then that could be big trouble for them.
Of course, all of these contests kind of become more heated as we see more money flow into them. Can you tell us a little bit about kind of where the money is coming from in these races and who controls where it goes?
Yeah, you'll see not only money start to pour into these races, but the races where the money is going will change over time as people on each party kind of decide which race is closest and which isn't. You know, one party might abandon a candidate because he or she is considered a lost cause and move their resources elsewhere. But the party leaders, House Speaker Michael Madigan on the Democratic side and House Republican Leader Jim Durkin on the Republican side, control where most of the money goes. Durkin is being greatly outspent. He has less money to spend than Madigan does, but Bruce Rauner has given the Republican Party quite a bit of money that it can spend on state house candidates. And third party groups can come in and spend on the behalf of candidates. Dan Proft, a conservative radio host, told us last week that he plans to spend $2 million on Republican candidates on behalf of them. He can't coordinate them, but spend $2 million is a lot of money. So that will make a big difference.
You mentioned in 2012 that Republican challengers fizzled in almost all the races that folks were watching thinking might be close. Do you think things will be different this time around?
It certainly could be. One thing that hasn't changed is the legislative map hasn't changed. Last election was the first year for this new map that was drawn to benefit Democrats as best as they could possibly make it benefit Democrats. That map is still in play, which is a huge benefit for Democrats. But some of these districts, maybe Democrats won despite the map, where they weren't even expected to win, and that's where you would expect maybe Republicans to pick up some seat. A lot has been made of Bruce Rauner's organization and his ability to get people to the polls and turn people out. And I think the ultimate test of that will be on Election Day. You know, not only for him, how does he do against Governor Pat Quinn, but was he able, if he wins, to drag Republicans along to Springfield with him?
But just to be clear, we're not going to see Illinois flip from a blue state to a red state anytime soon, are we?
Not in the legislature, but perhaps at the top of the ticket. You know, Republicans certainly could win. I mean, the polls go back and forth all the time. Democrats have such a massive advantage at the state house that it would be impossible for Republicans to take it over. The math just doesn't work. On the Illinois Senate side in particular, the numbers are 40 to 19 Democrats to Republicans in the Senate, and only a third of those seats are even up for election. So even if Republicans did their best possible scenario, they couldn't change it. In the House, the numbers are similarly lopsided. There is a better chance for individual seats to change hands there, but I don't think anybody thinks the Republicans would take over the Illinois House this election.